So most of you know me. There's a couple of new faces. I'm Dr. Brian Walsh, and I'm the chiropractor and owner here. And I've been doing this as my 21st year in practice. I was an engineer for 10 years, but a chiropractor helped me avoid surgery, and I kind of got interested in healthy lifestyle and jumped ship and went back to school. So now 21 years later, I'm doing this. I'd say I'm a bioengineer now instead of electrical because I get to work with people. Which are more complicated actually than circuits, because you don't have to deal with emotions in circuits, but it's still good. So we're going to be talking about something I call adrenal fatigue. We'll kind of talk about what it is, some of the signs, natural things you can do, ways to test that, because this is becoming a really big thing, especially in lieu of just the past couple of years. Like everyone has had some level of stress, maybe some more than others, but we'll talk about what it is and how to make it better, basically. But the adrenal glands are little glands. They sit on top of your kidneys, and they're responsible. Even though they're small, they're responsible for a lot of stuff. Anytime that you get really stressed, it can do many things. Sometimes people, if they've been this way a long time, their blood pressure starts going up, and if they've been that way a long time, sometimes that blood pressure actually gets lower. That's one sign of chronic, like adrenal type problems, is the blood pressure starts going lower than higher. And but there's natural ways to help all that stuff. But some other things that you may notice, because of the way our digestive system works, whenever you're stressed, that tends to slow down your digestive system in general. So some people can have a constipation or upset stomach. Some people, they'll go the other way and they'll get loose bowels. Hot or cold hands or clammy hands sometimes, if you've ever been in a stressful situation, your hands will get clammy sometimes. And these are natural responses, but you just don't want to stay that way, right, for long periods of time. Feeling lightheaded or faint. So some people, because of the way the adrenals also regulate your blood sugar, and if you're in that stress state, sometimes you can get that lightheaded feeling because your blood sugar is not being regulated properly. Especially if you don't have a good diet. People, if they've been this way a long time, when it comes to weight gain, it tends to be around the middle in general. What we call like a cortisol response, there where you gain the weight right around the middle. And generally, when most people are, there are some folks that they tend to lose weight if they get stressed, but a lot of people, it causes them to do some emotional eating kind of stuff. And it's just more likely for that. Around the middle response where they start gaining weight that way. There's other reasons for hair loss, but stress is one of them because there's in some people that's just how it affects them. It can affect your nutrient uptake and how you absorb things. And so that's one of the things I always quiz people about if they do have hair loss things is, there's thyroid problems that can cause that, nutritional deficiencies, but if they're stressed out all the time, then that's another reason why they'll lose hair. And until they get out of that state, it's hard to stop and slow that hair loss down. So they can do other things, but if you don't stop the stress, then it's still gonna kind of perpetuate. And then the other thing that's really important is you've got your immune system typically takes a hit, right? Whenever you're under stress, especially a long time, just a short time, it's not a problem, a week or two. But when it goes on for a month and sometimes years for people, there's this immune component called secretory IgA, and it's mostly in your membranes of your body. So your mucous membranes, your sinuses, the lining of your digestive tract. And that correlates really closely with stress. So they can actually measure this in like saliva tests and different things. And the higher the stress, it tends to lower your that secretory IgA immune component, which is really like a first line of defense. So that's another thing when people are chronically stressed a lot, they tend to get more colds and illness than normal because it sets you up for this state where you're just in a weakened state and more likely to get repetitive colds and those kind of things. Other things like muscularly wise, in general, people tend to get tenser, right, when they're stressed. And so a lot of this upper back, neck stuff, headaches, even low back in some people, that's what is creating the back pain is there's some form of stress that's causing them to be in that state where they're like chronically tight and they just can't relax. And it can typically cause the muscles not only to be tighter, but when they're tighter, they don't get circulation as good. So you tend to have more aches and pains. So People don't realize that long term, and I see that a lot now as people under long term stress, that it starts affecting many parts of the body. And medically, they don't really have good answers for that, because if you're looking at symptoms and those type of things, then there's many of them. And so what do you treat first, right? And well, the question is always, and the answer is to get to the cause, right? And if people are stressed, you need to get them out of that mode, whatever that mode is. Mentally, it can affect them either with anxiety or depression. People go either way with that. Sometimes it'll be a little short-tempered. The more stress someone's been under, they just don't have a long fuse anymore. It's easy to push them off the edge. And then the other area it affects is sleep, right? Because when you're ideally, when you go to sleep, as the night goes on, the cortisol is less and less. And then just before you wake up, the cortisol starts picking up, so you feel like waking up, right? That's a normal rhythm. But some people, it can be opposite. They can have high stress in the night, and then it drops in the morning, which is the opposite of what you want. And when that does that, then you feel tired, what they call the tired and wired, right? You're not sleeping good because of the insomnia, but then you're on edge because you're stressed. So it's a really tough state to get in, but you can back out of that. But the insomnia thing's becoming a pretty big thing, because it's more and more people are having sleep problems. And when you don't sleep well, then your brain doesn't work well, and your muscles don't relax as much, and you don't repair, right? Like we should. Different things. Mentioned the sleep. Emotional stress can trigger these things. There's different. One and another area it's not thought about as much as on like on a regular basis, but if people are eating the wrong foods for their body, right, or they're eating a food they're sensitive to, then that can actually make you. When we have a stress response in the body, right, whether it's running from a lion or your boss is giving you a hard time or someone in the family, and you go in that stress mode, then a lot of things change. And that's one of them is food. If you're eating, say, if you're allergic or sensitive to gluten products, when you eat that, it actually causes a stress response in the body. It's not quite as intense as running from a lion, but it still creates a stress response. And so it's like a low-grade form. So when you add that to other problems that you're experiencing, that just becomes compounded even more. And then unfortunately, once you are in that mode, then you can be more sensitive to foods. And then it's like this catch-22, right? When you're stressed out, it causes all these different problems. And then when you're in those problems, you don't handle stress as well. So it can be a really vicious cycle. And I mean, it can be gotten out of. It just takes time and discipline, basically, to get out of those things. There's different ways that you can measure this. One method is it's not quite as complete or accurate, is doing a morning cortisol test, where they test your blood first thing in the morning, and it should fall in a certain range. And if that's out there, then you know that's definitely part of the problem. A more accurate one is they do these saliva tests, where you collect saliva, and it's like four different times of the day, because as I mentioned, the cortisol should be high in the morning and then go down as the night goes on, like toward midnight or so. And so there's this normal rhythm that they know, and if you're out of that normal rhythm, then it's going to make it harder for you to get back into good sleep patterns and to feel more relaxed. So that cortisol saliva is a good way to test that. And usually within that same test, they also test that secretory IgA that I talked about, the immune marker. So you can see, is it lower than normal, which means I'm more susceptible to getting sick, right? Which is what you don't want during this time, with all the COVID stuff and just cold and flu season in general. The cold and flu season does still exist. This year they're acknowledging it a little better. So those are some two easy tests that are fairly accurate about seeing where you are on that timeline. There's mentioned the different organ problems. So if someone has a thyroid problem, either known or unknown, it's kind of hidden. The thyroid and the adrenal, they kind of work together in concert to keep your body healthy, your metabolism normal, all these different factors that go together. And when either one of those are stressed, it puts more stress on the other one. So sometimes people, if they've been having adrenal problems for a while, then they'll start having thyroid problems, which will even compound the weight issues and all kinds of stuff. Because people, when the thyroid's not working well, that also contributes to similar problems that the adrenal glands do, sometimes maybe worse. So that's how it can be like a snowball effect. And then if you're missing certain nutrients, minerals, especially the B vitamins. You really burn up B vitamins when your body's under stress. So if you're not supplementing and you're like eating kind of a junk food diet, then you're even at more risk for getting into that adrenal fatigue and having a hard time getting out. So that's one thing we always check with folks is their nutritional status and trying to get them off, the things like the high sugar foods and refined carbohydrates, which will just perpetuate the problem, basically. So diet is really, we always like to go toward the whole food, paleo type style diet that's very whole food oriented and minimal processed food, because you feel so much better. Developing a good sleep pattern, not going to bed too late, being careful about our devices, right, and not being on devices 5 minutes before we go to bed, because sometimes some people are more sensitive than others, but the blue light that comes off these devices, right, whether it's a TV screen or a computer or the phone, that blue light in some people, it stimulates them and it makes it harder for them to sleep. So ideally an hour before bed, you really shouldn't do too much technology because it helps your brain calm down and then you won't get that blue light stimulation. And most phones now, they have like a night mode where it backs off the blue light intensity. So if you're going to use that, make sure that night mode is on, because that'll really help that part of it anyways, as far as that goes. Exercise, so one of the best antidotes for stress is exercise, because all the different changes that happen in your body with stress, exercise combats all of them. It normalizes your blood pressure and your adrenaline, your cortisol, all those things normalize, and it increases blood flow to your muscles. It's the natural relaxant, after you've had a good workout. And so that's one thing I always try to get people, if they're not exercising, I try to get them into a regular exercise program, that'll keep them from having the effects of stress so much, because it really can combat directly that response. Something that this takes more on the time side, but there's lots of relaxation techniques that you can do with deep breathing and meditation, prayer, those type of things that lower that stress response, right? It helps you get into that take a breath mode, where you're more on the chill inside. And because that's part of when you get in this stress response, your body kind of gets stuck there sometimes and it has a hard time getting out of it. And so the way you do that is by reprogramming it with the good foods, good sleep patterns, the exercise. These things all help reprogram you out of the stress and into more of that relaxed state. Because sometimes when you get there, you don't realize like you're always tense, You're just always stuck in that state because that becomes your normal state, which really isn't good. I mentioned the B vitamins that are really effective, just like a general B complex is very effective. One of the Bs called the inositol. Sometimes we give that to people as an isolated supplement because it is very. It helps regulate the blood sugar some and has a calming effect on your brain. And so some people have them take that during before they go to bed, which can help them sleep. And then if they're having sugar cravings, so that's the other thing, because the adrenals regulate sugar, blood sugar, it can make you crave carbs more when you're in that state. So inositol is kind of naturally sweet, and I'll have people chew on one of those if they get a sugar craving, and it can help kind of calm that sugar craving, and it helps calm them a little bit. So that's one of the more, like I said, we give that isolated sometimes, but we usually give that in a whole complex. Doing things like stimulants, you do have to watch the caffeine if you're on edge, especially after like noon, 2 o'clock at the latest, because caffeine has like an 8 to 12 hour half-life in your blood. And so some people break caffeine down really well and some people don't. So the people that it takes their longer to break it down, they should only drink it in the morning, because then that doesn't introduce that part of it, which is a stimulant that you don't need if you're already stressed out. Vitamin D is also another good one. It's good for everything, actually, almost. Most of us are deficient in it. Even kids, actually, when they measure kids, a fair amount of them are low in vitamin D. Part of the problem with this, skin cancer scare and all that stuff is it has made people more paranoid about getting natural sunlight. And there's a way to do it by getting small amounts in the morning and late in the day for not long periods of time, and you can still get some. But We tend to not get enough of that. Mentioned the blue light thing. The other thing too is sometimes people, if they're not getting enough protein in their diet and they're just doing the carb out thing, that won't stabilize their blood sugar enough. And so that makes them a little more roller coaster. So I tell people to try to incorporate more good, clean, healthy proteins. Especially with breakfast, because a lot of people, when I have people do food journals, they carb out a lot in the morning. You know, they'll do the classic cereal or oatmeal or toast or whatever. But you really need some form of protein for the most part in order to stabilize your blood sugar. And it gives you more energy later in the day, typically. There are some herbs that can be very helpful. A lot of times they're in combinations, but one called rhodiola is a natural one, a plant-based herb that it helps you adapt to the stress better. So it doesn't like knock you out and doesn't make you totally relax like you can't do anything. It actually helps you respond to stress and gives you more stamina and endurance. A lot of athletes will use this as part of their training because it actually helps them train better because they don't tend to get as fatigued when they do heavy training, when they're training for events and stuff. But it also, because it supports your adrenals, is it can actually help regulate your sleep cycle a little better too. It doesn't necessarily make you sleep, but because it helps the adrenals work better, you tend to sleep better. So it's like a off side effect. There's another one, this is kind of a twofer, ashwagandha it's called, and that helps the adrenals and the thyroid gland. Both of those helps regulate them, balance them better. That one has more of a relaxing effect on the body than the rhodiola. Still not knocking you out kind of effect. That's what I like about a lot of the herbals, is you can use them to relax you even during the day, most of them, without giving you that, like, you need to take a nap thing. You don't want to do that. This is one, it's a little different. It doesn't have a relaxing effect, but what it does, ginseng, the different forms of ginseng, is again, it helps you be adapt to the stress better so it doesn't wear you out as much. With some people, they have to be a little careful with the ginseng because it can be overstimulating for them if they do too much of it. So that usually is better in the earlier part of the day if they're going to use that. But again, that helps you kind of, if you're burning the candle a lot and you do that in the morning, a lot of times it'll help your stamina overall so you don't feel so wore out. It's just the dosing can be the careful part there, because sometimes people get too much and they get a little too wired later in the day if they do it later in the day. I mentioned that the pain and stuff can cause problems, right? The adrenal problem can cause more aches and pains in the body and muscle aches. So on the physical side, things like chiropractic, massage therapy are really beneficial in that regard, because if people are having sleep problems from being stressed and then they ache when they're at night, then it just can't get restful sleep. So by aligning the spine and then having your muscles worked on, like with massage therapy, even the good old Epsom salt baths, right? That's something that's been around for decades. I recommend that all the time to my patients because it helps the muscles relax and helps the body relax. And it has therapeutic value, you know, for the muscles themselves. And so doing those sometimes when you're stressed several times a week, 3 or 4 days a week, can actually help the muscles and help you sleep better in the evening. That's usually why I recommend doing it. And then watching the stimulants, I mentioned that. So it's really, you know, there's not one solution for this. It's really multifaceted, right? There's just all these different components, and some people are affected or have a cause that's more prominent. You know, like they're just constantly stressed from work all the time and they can't go, and they can't have a hard time getting out of that. I mean, I've actually had some people where they changed jobs because they were just so overtaxed and couldn't get a good working environment that they left to do something else because it was overburdening their system. Because if you don't get rid of that kind of stress, then you won't get better because you're always stuck, you know, in that mode of going. If there's nutritional deficiencies, fix those. Whatever the cause, you have to fix that in order to start recovering so you can get out of this mode of adrenal fatigue. Because sometimes, especially if people are really, it's been going on for years, it's hard to get out of this because it's like a cycle that people get stuck in. But once you start identifying the problem areas, like sometimes just the food, right? Sometimes it could be a food that's really fatiguing somebody out dramatically. And you get them off that food and the stress response calms down and their energy comes back. and they can start pulling out, you know, that adrenal thing. Not everyone has that dramatic, but I've seen it before where I got them off a particular food and they came back to life again. So that can be really a small change, but an effective change. I think that was the main things I wanted to cover. Does anybody have any questions?
What do we get these tests?
Yeah, so those saliva tests are actually available online. You can actually order these cortisol saliva tests online now, and they send it to you. You do the samples. There's 4 samples during the day, and then you send that to the lab, and it usually takes a couple weeks to get it back. But, I mean, your regular medical doctor can do the cortisol one in the morning.
Okay.
You know, where they just, it's just a one-time test, like before 9 o'clock typically, and it's supposed to be in a certain range. That's the blood test. That one has to be done by a blood draw. But the other one's just a saliva test. You just take a sample 4 times.
Do certain body types functioning lends itself more to one thing other than another in this particular instance?
So what a particular body type, I mean?
This book's over here talks about the blood types.
Okay, yes. So typically, according to the blood type diet, the blood type A's in general tend to be a little easier stressed from mental, emotional stress type things. And so they do respond well typically to relaxation type techniques and gentle exercise, where the type O's, the vigorous exercise tends to help them better as opposed to relaxation type stuff. They do better when they intensely exercise than if they just sat down and did deep breathing. So it can vary from person to person. I mean, it can all be beneficial for each person, but sometimes you have to tailor it a lot, you know, to get a better result from it.
One question also. In the crystal light package we put in water for drink, do you consider that a sugar?
It's crystal light, you said? Yeah. Drink? Yeah. So it depends. So there's like a regular crystal light, which I think is either sugar or corn syrup. And then there's a light crystal light that's probably Splenda, right? And so I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff in general. Just like Gatorade, you know, it's really not that good for you because it's corn syrup. It's colored corn syrup, you know. It's not that great. So yeah, I'd rather not have those kind of things.
The health food store has some very good ones, little packets. And you just pour it in your water if you're looking for convenience.
Yeah, there are some natural versions of that you can get. Yes. That wouldn't have dye or the bad stuff in it, you know. Because some of those things, and you notice that a lot in children, or I've seen it in practice, the additives, the preservatives, the dyes, it can really mess kids up behaviorally. It tends to make them more hyper. They can be more angry. I've seen those kind of issues. Because they're just, you know, they're additives that the body doesn't know how to respond to a lot of times. And
the doctor would say, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm like, you give it to them and you won't.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very much so. I've seen it. Because a lot of times you bring them off these things and then they return to a normal child, you know. It's like, so, yeah, all about the whole food. Yeah. Anything else? You guys are too easy. These out of your stressed out and want to go home and sleep.